This podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 19 in Ontario, and we ask that you respect your local laws regarding cannabis.
Be sure to like, download, follow, subscribe, and of course, share with your friends. Hi, ladies.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Annie. We're back.
Yes, we are back. The season is flying by. Mm-hmm. We have been so busy, not just with the podcast, but with life in general, and as these things develop, we will share them with you.
That's right. Did you have a good Halloween?
I had a great Halloween.
Yeah. Did your kids get a good haul?
They got a super haul. They had a plan. They executed their plan. They divided and conquered. My huge dining room table is just covered. And there's the organizational process happening right now where my daughter, who went as a mummy, and we made the costume. It was awesome. She's organizing all the chocolate bars and making sure everything's, which is great, because then when I want to have a Twix, there they are. Oh, that's so sweet.
Let's see if Matt's... Oh, thanks, Matt.
That's Amanda's pick your kids up from school timer.
Yep.
What was I saying? When my son went as Bort Saxman, and I don't know what Matt's saying, and he was a sleazy lawyer. So, fabulous. How about you?
It wasn't bad. We went out with some friends, and that was awesome. Yeah.
And that was just a few days ago. And then yesterday, we did a Zoom trip down to Toronto.
We did.
To meet with Joanne Dugan, who is somebody who is dear to our heart, because when the podcast first started, she connected with us.
Yep. We had to go through and figure out how and what it was that connected us. And it was when our very first Valentine's Day episode, when we did writing a love letter to cannabis.
And she wrote it in a love letter. And then we ended up Zooming with her. This is all during COVID and lockdown. And she is a emotional wellness coach. She's a therapist.
Yeah, and she developed a program called Plan C Strategies that help you make shit okay again.
Yeah. You know? If Plan A isn't working, Plan B isn't working, there's always Plan C.
Yeah. And she is also the wonderful human who gave us our
centering,
yeah.
Which is?
Breathe in and breathe out and smile. Remember, it's not what's happening, it's how you handle it.
Amanda and I say that a lot. Mm-hmm. And when we've had moments where we are getting a little bit frazzled, both center with that. And when I first heard it, Bebo, breathe in, breathe out, Bebo, I thought, what is this crock? Now I live by Bebo.
I live by Bebo, yeah.
So she was all the way up from Massachusetts, and we had the chance to connect, and we had lunch, and it was like we were meeting somebody that we knew
forever,
intimately forever. Yeah. Yeah. So, Joanne, we love you. If anybody is needing a little bit of help just navigating the day and making life a bit easier, go to Plan C Now on Instagram. She has some amazing techniques that cost nothing to do. To breathe in, breathe out, and smile is, you can do that anywhere, anytime. So that was really special to me.
Yeah. It was an amazing trip down to the city. One of our best ones in a bit.
Who do we have on the show today?
Oh, we've got one of our favorite people. We got Mackie. So we had a chat with him earlier today, Mackie from High on Homegrown. You may have heard of High on Homegrown. It's in my opinion, it is the best cannabis podcast available.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Hi Ladies. But if you want to learn how to grow, if you are interested in cannabis in the news, if you are just interested in connecting with people in the cannabis space, go check out High on Homegrown. You can find them on YouTube,
yep,
Spotify, all the platforms.
So we're talking UK and podcasting and whatnot with Mackie. Please enjoy this interview. This week we have friend of the podcast, Mackie, from High on Homegrown, a cannabis podcast produced in the UK. Welcome, Mackie.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm on the phone.
Mackie's here virtually.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate your...
No, not at all.
It was just a little bit different to the usual way we do things, you know. Well, we on High and Homegrown, I mean by we. Yeah, we usually do Zoom calls and now I'm on the phone and I'm holding up this massive phone to my face.
Well, there's a really cool thing about High and Homegrown that I really think is unique and amazing, which is sort of the international aspect of it. You're in the UK, But you host with a bunch of hosts that kind of represent spaces all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, just the cannabis community in general, really, as a collective. We have Marge from Canada. I think has Marge been on the High Ladies podcast?
She has not. And she is somebody we should definitely get on. But we haven't been on her podcast either, so we're even Steven right there.
But a good friend of ours.
Get that sorted out. That would be good. That would be a good show.
Yeah, we love Marge.
Marge is
the best. So we have Marge in Canada. We have Monkey Dewey from the southern United States, still in illegal territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, parts of the USA still illegal with cannabis. And then we have Bubble Huck, who is in Australia.
And it's hilarious. He's like, he has to get up in the middle of the night because you're dealing with time zones here.
They're like 4 a.m. or something. It's terrible. We feel so bad. But I don't know. He deserves it sometimes.
I mean, it speaks to the commitment that you all have to each other and to the community as a whole.
Yeah, for sure.
And you go, 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 go. I think our podcast, Our Little High Lady, started around the same time as High on Homegrown. But I think you have like twice as many episodes out as we do.
Yeah, you guys never break.
Yeah, we do like 3 recordings a week some weeks, where we do the cannabis news and events on Sunday along with the Grow Guides as one live stream on YouTube. And throughout the week, we might do 2 interviews on a Tuesday and on a Thursday. But that's more for Patreons, and then we send them interviews out for everybody else to download.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of recording. That's a lot.
It's because I've been doing it for a few years. It's like kind of into my routine of the week now. So I'll get to I can fit it all in. It doesn't seem like it's a lot of work, but it is really a lot of work. Yeah.
Well,
I'm just used to it now.
Yeah, yeah. But you stuck with it, and your podcast is in the top 1% globally, which is fucking right on.
Mm-hmm.
Is it top 1% now?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and you deserve it.
The last time I checked, it was top 2%.
Oh, maybe you slipped, buddy. Come on, you got to get some more episodes out there. But if there's anybody in the cannabis industry, they have interviewed them.
Oh, yeah.
Like the who's who.
Yeah, pretty much. There's only a couple that we haven't. But we're very lucky to have been able to speak to all of the people that we've spoken to.
And that comes from your sheer...
Sorry?
I was just going to say, that comes from your perseverance of reaching out to people and just asking.
Definitely, yeah. Because we had Graham Hancock on the show. He likes to talk about ancient civilizations and things like that. It's not really cannabis related, but he's a cannabis user sometimes.
Yeah, it was a fabulous.
We managed to get him on the show, but it was a year and a half it took us to get Graham Hancock on the show. Persistence of monthly emails, like, "Are you free this month? Are you free this month? Are you free this month?"
At a certain point, they're like, "It's worth my time just to go on the fucking show and get him to stop calling me every month." Oh, but that's great. Yeah, that's great. And you've definitely taught us.
It was a good show.
You've definitely taught us to be more, less scared to reach out to people.
Oh yeah,
and to bug people.
I think that's
good. I'm glad I can be that bad influence for you.
I think one thing I took away from you is that the worst that they'll say is no. Like that's like the worst.
And then
thing
you're in the same position you was anyway.
Exactly it. Yeah, and you haven't lost anything other than the 2 minutes it took you to write that email.
Mm-hmm. Even less than that if you use ChatGPT nowadays.
Oh my goodness. I haven't started yet.
This season, like, we try and theme our seasons just so we have sort of a roadmap where we're going. So this, and we always break the rules, and we always, we've been pretty good this season about staying, but we had pretty broad rules, which is macro, micro. So what's happening across Canada? Yeah, we're federally legalized, but every province has different unique ways of interpreting and following through on cannabis legalization. And macro is the world at large. So we've been reaching out to people from globally.
Mm-hmm. We had Anna Sophia Kuperanis from Germany in the Bloom Well group. And she came on to
You should get
us.
Her a Mackie. She's amazing.
Yes.
So is cannabis legal in the UK?
That's a difficult question to answer, that one. It depends who you are. It depends how much money you have in the bank and what kind of friends you have in government. That's what matters in the UK.
Mm.
But it's essentially legalized for medical use. So if you have the money, which a lot of people don't in the UK nowadays, you can buy the prescription and you'll be able to buy cannabis and use it as a medicine legally, which I see is just essentially a bribe to the government. You know, here in the UK, we have the NHS, the National Health Service, and it's pretty much free to the point of use because we pay for it with national insurance. So when people go and get their medicine from the pharmacy, they only ever have to pay a small fee of around £10, no matter what the medicine is. And this is something that we've got used to here in the UK. You know, it's the National Health Service is what we pay for. But when it comes to cannabis as a medicine, you have to go and see a specialist. To see the specialist, you have to pay £50. And then they will decide, looking on your doctor records, whether you are eligible to be a cannabis patient, which you're pretty much going to be a customer, so you're always eligible. You know, you can always have it. I don't think they turn many people away. But, and then after that, you're paying £50 to £60 for, I think it's 10 grams of cannabis flower. You can get oil as well, and that's like £60 a bottle. Mm. But it all has to come through those pharmacies. You can't, like, go to a shop and buy cannabis and use it for medicine. You can get CBD extracts, and that's added to stuff. So. But it's only, you know, it's gone off on a tangent there. I won't do that.
No.
It's legal for medical use. It's but recreationally is still a no.
So how difficult is it to get that card outside of the financial burdens that it places on somebody? Like, do I have to be an end
it
of life?
Be pretty easy.
Okay, so like I can go because I have chronic pain.
Essentially, because of the way it's been privatized, they're just looking for customers. Mm. In my opinion, anyway, they're just looking for customers. They don't really care about what ailments you have. They just want to be able to sell the weed that they've been growing.
And if you're,
you know, they say very sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, they just say, but it's illegal to grow cannabis in the UK, but it's not illegal. It's illegal for me because I'm not rich. Mm. I don't have huge greenhouses. But, you know, for those guys who have friends in government, as I said, you know, they can grow hundreds and thousands of plants and it's not a problem. Well, I'm not allowed to. I mean, you know, lots of people in the UK are not allowed to just because they said so. It's piss take.
So, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, you know, with our macro-micro. We were talking about this in Germany. If you are truly sick and you're using cannabis as your medicine, you need quite a bit of cannabis, mm-hmm. and you are probably not bringing in a income. You're more likely to be financially strained. So unless you have money, this is really not an option for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And you hit a nail on the head there. It's like they're saying that you can use the cannabis for medical use if you have health problems. But people who generally have these kind of health problems that need daily medicine usually can't work. They're not in a position where they can work, so they're not making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have the money to buy the cannabis in the first place. It's a stupid position to leave people in.
Yeah.
They would prefer that they go to the old, you know, the big pharma medicines and have those medicines rather than the harmless herb that cannabis is, just because of dosage factors and things like that. They've got good excuses. Excuses.
Not I mean, they have excuses. You know, they have lots of excuses. Yeah.
Excuses make sense, but they're still bullshit.
Yeah. Now, we have a similar, we have an issue here in Canada where, like, cannabis is the only prescribed medication in the country that is not, that you have to pay tax on.
Yeah.
And that's, like, to me, that's crazy. When I sort of had that realization, I was just like, whoa. So, like, these poor medical patients have to, like, you have to pay significantly more, and all you get is, like, a little, you know, a little bit of a tax break come tax season. And that's awful.
It's very similar to the UK. I didn't realize that because, again, like, I don't pay for medications.
Right.
But even if you are a medical cannabis user, you still pay for your cannabis. You just get a tax deduction at the end of the year.
That's right. And so there really isn't much of a incentive right now in Canada for people to go out and get their medical cannabis license when I could just go to a store, a recreational store, and try and figure it out on my own. Like, if you're using this for medicine, like, you need some help.
You know what I just thought of? Just came into my mind. If you're a medical cannabis user in Canada and you do claim it, there's a duck somewhere, you do claim it on your taxes, now the government knows that you're smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Now you're
trapped. It's a concern I've always had. Yeah. because they could always change their mind on legalization as well. So, for example, in the UK, you're not allowed to grow cannabis. It doesn't matter if it's one plant or it's 100 plants. You'll get prosecuted more for 100 plants, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not allowed to grow cannabis at all. And it's pretty much just because they said so, you know? I forgot where I was going with that.
Is it enforced?
My phone buzzed and it distracted
me. It sounded like you had a duck over there. Is it enforced? Like if I decided, hey, I'm just some little lady, I want to put a plant in my backyard, would that actually be enforced? Let's say my neighbor complains. Or would they just be like, come on, dude, fucking
well, yeah, if
down.
The neighbor complains, then the police are going to come out and do something about it. That's how it generally works. You know, you have to make sure nobody finds out about it. You can't grow outside in the UK because you just can't. The weather's shit for one, so you probably won't get a good grow out of it. Mm. You might be able to. Some people do pull it off. But if it's seen by anybody, then you can risk prosecution. Mm. It's a sad state of affairs, it is.
And I'm sure that prosecution is evenly distributed amongst all of the different socioeconomic levels, and all the races are treated equal within the system, right?
This is England. It's a civilized country.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
Do you see a roadmap towards legalization in the UK?
Right now, no. No, unfortunately not. And that's what I was saying. It's like we were back on that path I was on, which I forgot where I was going. It's, you know, if they ever legalized here in the UK and said, okay, you can grow four plants, but you have to be put down on this register, I still wouldn't sign up for that. Mm. Because 6 months down the line could be like, oh, we actually made a mistake. We don't want to do that. And then they have a list of all the people who are growing and they can just go and kick off everybody's door and prosecute people. I have an extreme lack of trust for the government.
I'm hearing
but
that.
As a footpath to legalization, right now we have the Tory government, the Conservatives in, and they have no interest in legalizing cannabis whatsoever. Mm. And then we have the Labour Party, which is looking quite likely that they'll win the next election because for the last 13 years, the Tory government has ruined this country. Mm. But Labour has their part to play. They're both shit. You know, that's the way it is in most countries. They're both shit. The Labour Party, the leader of the opposition, is called Keir Starmer. Yep. He has said publicly that he has no interest in legalising cannabis whatsoever. So right now we have an election next year, I think, and Labour will probably win. They'll be in for 5 years. So that's at least 6 years we're looking at right now that nobody's interested in legalising cannabis for recreational use. It's shocking, you know? So
yeah.
It is shocking.
At some point, you just give up hope.
Yeah, know? Well, exactly, right?
So it's not going to happen. Just
I almost want to see them, because we have seen our own challenges within the recreational space mm-hmm. in cannabis. I would love to see the next nation that legalizes have a focus instead on recreational, but like creating a thriving, accessible medical market so that it becomes like, hey, I'm sick. And then I can have access to doctors. I can have access to people who are like, yeah, you know what? This could be a great thing. Maybe it's like this plant could be a great addition to what you're already doing in the pharmaceutical yeah. space. Right? Yeah. Like to support, and the two of them could support each other.
And that's the most important thing, and it's making sure people get their medicine. The recreational right. comes secondary to that.
That's right. We're all medicating whether or not we want to like admit that to ourselves. Like sometimes we're just medicating because we're stressed out. Sometimes we're medicating because, like, you know, you just need a break.
Yeah. You know, it was Germany and the model that they're going towards will be interesting to see because there's enough differences from what they're doing, how that plays out. And if that has more of an impact on the thoughts in the UK and across Europe, mm-hmm. once they see how Germany, the fucking shitload of money they're about to make.
Well, see, and that's almost what I think it is like, Mackie, do you think that when the government sees how much money could be made, they'd be like, oh, you know what, maybe that's not such a terrible idea?
Well, you could say that, but the thing is, the government in this country are already making a shitload of money from cannabis, and if they legalize it, then they allow everybody else to have a piece of the pie. They don't want that. You know, loads of them in some way are connected in some way to a cannabis company like GW Pharmaceuticals and things like that. GW Pharmaceuticals made Sativex. Mm. And they were the biggest exporter of cannabis in the world until a couple of years ago. I think it might be Australia now. I'm not sure.
That is so contradictory.
Even though cannabis was illegal. Yeah, yeah.
Well, but I'm...
the one of the big shareholders in GW Pharmaceuticals, his wife was the prime minister of the country for a while. It's just corruption. It's corruption. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't grow four plants for personal use, but they can do whatever the fuck they like. It's disgusting. It gets you angry, you know?
Oh, yeah. And something that I'm finding is that even when I speak with non-consumers of cannabis, you know, they... When you start to give them some insights into, like, how our governments operate and how much money is being made and the rules that restrict people from doing things within this legal market, people are just like, you know, I don't agree with cannabis, but that's not fair. Like, I recognize that that's not okay. And people get passionate about it. Like, even non-consumers, like, that's unfair for the government to be treating these businesses like that.
Mm-hmm. And to be raking in billions of dollars of taxes, and I don't know where that money's gone.
Yeah. That's one thing I would have liked to have seen is, like, an actual breakdown of how are the tax dollars produced in or created from the cannabis space we're going to actually go into, like, how California does it.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're like, oh, 20% to schools, you know, 20% to healthcare and mental health services. You know, like, that's amazing. Let's hold it. Accountability.
Huh. That's shitty. That's shitty, Mackie. Like, it's just, like you said, no hope. Like, it's just, what the fuck? And you have this amazing podcast that is listened to internationally, and you have to hide it like it's some dirty thing.
Yeah. I can't even tell my mother, you know? it's shit, you know, because it's a successful podcast. You know, I appreciate you saying that it's good. You know, I'm sure some people disagree. Some people love it. Some people don't. I don't know. You know, it's just
one of my favorites.
Enjoy it. That's awesome.
I listen every week, Jackie. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't listen to very many cannabis podcasts because my world revolves around cannabis, so I like to escape it and go into murder and medical mysteries. But I do listen to High on Homegrown, and I specifically really love your cannabis news segments. I think that is, like, for me, because you've got this representation globally, so you're getting in the idea of what's happening, you know, what's happening down under, what's they're really talking about in the South States.
And the perspectives of those people and their lived experiences.
Mm-hmm. And then all the other people's reactions to it.
That's right.
So
we just have good fun. Yeah, I'm glad you guys enjoy it, because we enjoy making it. So it's good to hear that we have listeners who also enjoy the show.
Well, you enjoy it and you're learning.
The numbers we've hit. You know?
Yeah. And you're learning.
Well, also, as well as the audience, you know?
Yeah. So we thought maybe we would do a High on Homegrown, High Ladies, Cannabis News is a ode to your fabulous podcast. We have done a few news... A few news episodes, but it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes we were talking about was a huge bust that happened very close to us where they found, you know, a million plants, but they also found a zebra.
Like, right, random.
Things have gotten out of control.
When you have a zebra in
Imagine
Canada.
Imagine the guy finding that, you know. He just walked through this field with 100,000 plants in it, and then he sees a zebra and be like, am I fucking tripping on it?
Ontario's cold, man. It's not zebra territory. You don't come across zebras. Oh, it's kind of a hard thing to hunt.
It was a black horse with ice on it, you know?
Yeah. That's so good.
My son calls zebras, this is a sidebar, my son calls zebras barcode ponies.
Nice.
I like that.
I like the sound of that. That's
right?
Good. That's good. I have funny names for things like that as well. Like, I call unicorns dickhead horses. You know?
Matt's going to be mad about how loud I just laughed.
You're clipping. Turn it down. Clipping.
Oh, man, I'm going to hear about that one.
Oh, dickhead. Okay, so you have an article that also came out of Barrie, so like our hometown.
And Mackie has an article. Should we let him go first since he's our guest?
Sure.
Awesome. Do you want to start us off here with an article from The Guardian?
Oh, yeah, well, let me change ears.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to use PC and phone at the same time. I haven't done this for a while. This is a news article that has been, we've reported it many times on our show because it's been going on for a few years now. And it's just, it's a nice look at the hypocrisy that we have here in the UK when it comes to the cannabis law and the different tiers of society that we have as well. But I'll just give you a quick backstory that this police commissioner guy, he was pretty much the drug czar. So he made up the rules on how people should be prosecuted when they're being found in possession of certain drugs. And this gentleman was suspected at some point in 2020, I think it was, of smoking cannabis, taking magic mushrooms, doing acid, you know, which is nothing wrong with doing any of these things. But this was the guy who was putting people in prison for doing exactly the same thing that he was, you know, these are the rules he made. He was the guy who was making the rules. And he was suspended from work full pay while the investigation went on. Mm. And the investigation is over now. So essentially, he's been off work at the, and he's being paid full wages for 3 years out of the taxpayer's pocket. And he's just corrupt as fuck. I don't even know how much money that is. It's going to be a lot of money because it seems to be a pretty senior position.
I was going to say, yeah, but he probably makes a shitload.
Yeah, yeah. But it all seems like it all started as well because he had a girlfriend, maybe met her on Tinder or something. I don't know. I won't just assume. But it seems as if they had an argument at some point, and then she left, broke up and left him, and then called the police on him, being like, yo, this guy, he's arresting all these people, but he's mashed up on mushrooms right now.
Bitches be crazy.
So the title of this article here is Senior Officer Behind Meth Drug Strategy Sacked Over Refusal to Take Drug Tests, and Met is the Metropolitan Police. I don't know if you can hear fireworks outside. It's nearly November the 5th, so a lot of fireworks go on here in the UK.
Okay, can you?
I don't know if you can hear that. Apologies.
I'm so ignorant. What is November the 5th in the UK?
Now, a few hundred years ago, a guy called Guy Fawkes tried to blow up Parliament with the King in it, and he got found out and underneath Parliament, the Houses of Parliament, and he had loads of barrels of gunpowder. So Guy Fawkes Night, do you know? Maybe you know it by that name.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So somebody tried to blow up Parliament. So to celebrate that, we blow things up.
Essentially, they foiled a terrorist attack, and they still celebrate it now many hundreds of years later.
But the irony that he tried to blow something up and that you're setting fire to fireworks that are going to go in the sky and blow up, I love that. That's amazing.
Sorry, that was.
There's so many things that we have that don't make sense here in the UK.
We're getting the gist of that.
Is it just another excuse to like go to the pub and have a pint?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
You'll see, it's like there's zero festivals that happen during the summer months. It's because everybody's out having a barbecue and drinking beers and having a good time and spending money, going on holidays. But as it gets darker and the weather gets really shit, people stay in. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can we do to try and force people to go outside? And it's like, oh, look. Halloween. Oh, look, November 5th. Oh, look, Black Friday. Oh, look, it's Christmas, New Year. You know, and then all these things go out throughout the dark days of the year until summer comes back, and then there's nothing that happens for months.
Oh, it sounds so Canadian, too. Like, that's exactly what happens here. That's awesome.
It's just to keep the economy running, keep them cogs turning now. Spend, spend, spend. Random tangent, sorry.
It's all fireworks. Good.
This article here says a senior Metropolitan Police commander who wrote the force's drug strategy has been sacked after he was found guilty of gross misconduct for refusing to take a drug test when he was accused of smoking cannabis.
Oh.
That devil cannabis again, getting around the place, ruining the youth. You know, a disciplinary panel cleared Julian Bennett, who had served in the force since 1976, of using the drug at home in late 2019. But found that he breached force standards for honesty and integrity, orders and instructions, and discreditable conduct by refusing to provide a urine sample for a drug test on the 21st of July, 2020. This is when somebody grassed on him, you know, I think it was his ex-girlfriend or something, grassed on him, so he's had to take a drug test, and he refused to, so then he's just under investigation for the next 3 years. The article continues. Bennett was accused of smoking cannabis daily by former lodger Sheila Gomes. That's the ex-girlfriend, allegedly, in my opinion, but it doesn't actually say that. The panel, however, found her account implausible, given that none of Bennett's colleagues had noticed any change in his behavior over this period. WhatsApp messages that Gomes, G-O-M-E-S, the name is, this is the lady again, WhatsApp messages that Gomes sent to a friend showed vitriol towards Bennett after their relationship deteriorated, as well as a propensity to lie, the panel found. The three-person panel also accepted Bennett's reasoning that he had refused the drug test because he had taken legal CBD oil to treat his painful medical condition of Bell's palsy, and that he feared that would be given a positive result, rejecting another allegation that he had lied.
Mm.
So he's trying to say that he would have cannabis in his system, which would have been the CBD, but you know, he would have also had THC in it as well. I don't know if you want me to read this whole article. Mm. It does go on for a while.
But then he got cleared of all of this. Right? Like, he's off the hook.
He was just under investigation. He wasn't found clear. I don't think. He was under investigation for 3 years.
But now he's not. Sacked. Oh, he's officially been sacked.
Okay.
Okay.
And I bet he was making a few hundred thousand a year. Because if he's on the force in 76, like, he has seniority.
Mm-hmm.
And again, hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. But when he's sending people out there to arrest people just for possession of simple drugs like mushrooms and cannabis, there was one article which we read, because we've reported these articles since 2020 when this first happened, and every time there was an update, we brought it up on the show. And one of the articles that we covered specifically said, police chief's flat looked like an Amsterdam coffee shop. You know, there was weed everywhere, the mushrooms everywhere, so... Yeah, again, it's like, if this guy wants to do that, that's fine, man. This is his own personal time. He should be allowed to do these things. But the fact that he was making laws and enforcing them and prosecuting people for doing the exact same thing he was doing,
yeah.
It's just, this is what the UK is now. This is just a fine example of how corrupt things are and how hypocritical things are here as well.
And if he's using CBD and whatnot for Bell's palsy, so he knows
the benefits,
and he's still saying, I'm going to make laws that are going to restrict others to use this and help their lives be better, but I'm going to do it. Like, it sounds like a cool guy and a not cool guy. He's like two different dudes. Yeah. He puts on the uniform and he becomes a dick.
let's do a grab of shrooms, smoke some weed, and let's have a chat, bro.
Yeah.
Well, he gets on this tight, the police officer uniform, and he turns into an asshole, and he gets home, and he puts on a dashiki, and he fucking gets out his hookah, and he's having a great old time. He's a duplicitous person.
Yeah.
Don't you do it now. Don't you do it. This guy was so bad. On the last paragraph here of the article, it says, Bennett wrote the force's drug strategy for 2017 to 2021 as a commander for the territorial policing. He presided over 74 police misconduct hearings, 69 as chair, and between June 2010 and February 2012, which led to the dismissal of 56 officers, earning him the nickname Saka. He has been suspended on full pay since July 2021. So, fuck, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, what would you be doing since then, since July 2021? If you're stuck at home, suspended, if you weren't doing shrooms and weed when you've been off work for that long, then what are you doing with your life, man?
I agree.
We lived through the pandemic. We know how it goes.
You know?
You know what I mean? Shit.
Those days get long.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting article, and I thought I'd bring that to you guys and let you know about it. I'll find it interesting.
Well, I'm glad he's off the force, and I'm glad that the taxpayers don't need to pay his salary anymore.
But again, like, he didn't get in trouble. He didn't go to jail. He got tons of money to go sit at home and trip.
Mm-hmm.
And now he doesn't. And I'm sure, since he's been on the force since 1976, he's good and set. So basically, he retired early.
Yeah. And he'll probably just become a consultant.
I don't think he'll be losing his pension.
At the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars for the fucking taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. Can't spell fuck without UK. That's a phrase that I keep putting out there nowadays, but yeah, it's pretty shocking, man.
Oh, that's so good. You got all the good ones.
I like it.
I brought this article to you, a week ago or something, and this happened here in Barrie. And I was concerned about the wording of it, and, I had a whole slew of things I was uncomfortable with. Do you want to read it?
I'm going to read it, the whole thing, because it's a short article, and it is from Barrie CTV News, which is a real news network.
A real news.
Well, I'm putting air quotes because I want
not like Fox or CNN or
anything. Right.
No bias at all. No bias. And it is from the 25th of October, so it's a very new article. The article's title is "Barry Man Raises the Alarm After Suspected Laced Cannabis Claims His Two Friends' Lives." Please pay attention to words. Words are important. That's not part of the article. That's my thoughts here.
There we go.
Russell T, just listen to words, and it's very interesting. You actually listen to what people are saying or what the actual words are. Things can be a little bit different than they seem on the surface. So, here we go. Mm-hmm. Russell Teague is mourning the loss of two close friends who died last week after what he suspects was an accidental overdose, possibly caused by consuming cannabis laced with the potent opioid fentanyl. We don't know specifically the details of it all, but buying may be acquiring what they believe to be harmless controlled substances laced with something that is very lethal, Teague said. The Barry man is determined to prevent a similar fate for others. He is speaking out to warn the community about the potential dangers of unregulated substances sold on the streets. It's very, very, very dangerous to buy anything off the street. Anything that is not safe and regulated, he emphasized.
Oh, really?
Oh. Barry police confirmed...
Back in my day, drugs were safe.
Exactly.
The safest place to get your drugs is in back alleys. Barry police confirmed that they found two bodies during a wellness check at a residence last week, Saturday. They say toxicology tests are planned to determine the exact cause of death, though that's not happened yet. Barry Police Services Communications Coordinator Peter Leon said that there is a disturbing trend in the city that has persisted for some time. I think people that participate in high-risk lifestyle where drugs are involved need to recognize and know that the drugs they are using could, in fact, be drugs that could cause them to die. Well, thank you, Leon. That's like, you know, if you play with fire, you could get burned. Ooh, well, I'm glad that I read that sentence. Teague stressed that
now
I know, and knowing is half the battle.
Exactly.
Teague stressed that his friend's lack of intent to knowingly subject themselves to such grave risks. There's no way they would venture into such danger. Police reiterate the importance of exercising caution when purchasing any substance outside a registered government-approved store. The end.
So, I have so many issues with this article. Outside of the wording and all the speculation, but the reality is most people are not lacing cannabis with fentanyl. How did it get there?
Marge brought this up on the most recent episode of news, where it's because these drug dealers tend to be dealing with more than one substance, and they'll be handling fentanyl and then handling cannabis, and it's contaminating the cannabis unknowingly. They're not purposely
That was my exact thought.
That's exactly what Amanda said.
I was like, the only way that... Because cannabis users are not...
It's not what we're looking for.
We're not generally fentanyl users, right? Generally, no. We're not.
And why waste your fentanyl on us?
I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? I smoke weed so I don't have to do that shit. Preventative, you know?
That's exactly what Amanda was saying. They probably were cutting fentanyl and then they did this. But to just, they did weed that they found on the street or they bought on the street and now they're dead because of the fentanyl and the weed. There's too many assumptions here. And even the police are saying, we don't have a toxicology report.
Yeah, we don't even know if that's what they died from.
Yeah, maybe it was carbon monoxide poisoning. They don't actually know anything. And then he suspects an accidental overdose possibly caused, and we don't know specifically the details, and we believe this might have happened.
The only way you would know if fentanyl was on that weed is if you were able to get the bud and test it, right? Take it to a lab and test it for fentanyl. That's the only way you're going to know. So I think I like the way that you described it. This isn't news. This is gossip.
Yeah.
Right? And we need to stop...
As far as we know, they was watching a dodgy VHS video of some girl climbing out of a well, and Samsara come got them, and they were killed because of the ring.
Yeah,
exactly. Same amount of evidence for that as we have for fucking fentanyl.
Yeah.
Shit.
And, you know, I'm really sorry for this man, Russell Teague, who lost his two friends. But just to be like, oh, my two friends died, and it's because they had fentanyl-laced weed. Well, how the fuck do you know that?
How suspicious is that? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, you smoked that weed too, you ain't dead. Why are they dead, you're not dead? Who's asking that question?
Or maybe Russell was over and they were all smoking weed, and then they were like, okay, go home, Russell, you're a boring fuck. We're going to hang out together. And then they're like, good, Russell's gone, pull out the fenty.
I mean, we don't know, and we won't know.
Well, once the actual, like, health coroner report comes out, then we'll actually know something. But this is in a news network.
It's presented as fact. News. Yeah.
And it's Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
which is the way it is with a lot of news nowadays.
Yes.
It's best just to not read this shit, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I agree.
I absolutely agree.
It's just more bullshit. It's made nowadays to make us either scared or angry, one of the two, and that's it. That's the main objective.
Yep, it definitely evokes both of those.
Scared and angry so they get clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's in the government's, you know, because I know you love the government, it's in the government's best interest to keep us scared, poor, hungry, fighting with each other, because then we won't actually have time to put our heads up and go, wait a minute, you guys are fucking us.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, they do it for our own safety. They are there to look after us.
Yes, and out of an abundance of caution.
Well, thank you, government. Thank you, government friend. You know, it's frustrating, man. It's disgusting. But these people that do commit these atrocities around the world try and tell us what's right or wrong, man. It's a bit of a farce.
It absolutely is. And thank you for giving us sort of a perspective on what it looks like in the UK. For all our listeners who I know are going to want to tune into High End Homegrown, where can people find you?
Everywhere, really. We are right slags. And we get around. We're on all the podcast networks, all the social networks. If you just search for High End Homegrown and on whatever platform you prefer, we'll be there. You can download episodes for free.
I know that I listen on Spotify, but when I see that you guys are live on YouTube, I'm always like, yes!
Sunday evenings live on YouTube, and you have so many people in the chat, and it's so much fun.
Oh, it's
like,
so
you
much
feel
fun.
Part of the show. It's a great sort of thing. So if you're kicking around Sunday evenings, which I often am, check out the YouTube, and there'll be the YouTube. Check out the YouTube, and they'll be on there.
It's easy to find us. I just youtube.com/highonhomegrown, and you can find us on, I think for Eastern time, I think it's 4 o'clock, 4 p.m.
Okay.
Live on a Sunday.
Well, if you've been knocked down to the top 2%, we'll get you back up to the 1%.
That's it.
No, whatever it is, you know, we don't really mind. We're very lucky. We get like 37,000 downloads a month. That's
Fuck.
What we're on right now. So, I know, right?
I know.
Good for you.
Think of all the people who now know how to grow their own weed mm-hmm. because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you
oh, yeah, it's great.
You've changed lives. You're changing
that.
Lives over there.
All while hiding. And so thank you for coming out of hiding and joining us today on Hi, Ladies. We love you, Mackie, and we can't wait to be on your show again. And
anytime, man. Yeah, come and join us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, have a good evening.
All right, thank you for having me. I'll let you all go then. I'm going to go out now.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm going to go out and blow things up because it's November 5th nearly. You know? And that's what we do here. And thanks for having me, ladies. It's been a pleasure.
I'll forever think of you on November 5th. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mackie.
Bye.
That was such a great interview. I love Mackie.
I love Mackie, too. He makes me howl, obviously.
Right? He's hilarious.
And
he's so good.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to make a trip out to the UK.
Okay, Amanda.
All right.
I'm on it.
All right, sweet. Let's
do it. You know that weed's not legal there.
It is not.
You still want to go?
I do. just go meet Mackie. We'll pop over the pond for some lunch.
Mm-hmm. That was great. But I do think now it's time for us to step away.
Take a toke.
And go be moms. I just don't know how to do the extra anymore because I don't want to do the old one. I do want to do the new one, but I am just going to say, you know, if you want to support the podcast...
Go buy Kanja.
Go to your local dispensary, ask them to order in Kanja. If you are anywhere near Pops Cannabis, they are all carrying Kanja, so pop in there. And that is a great way you can support the show.
Yep.
Now, we do love letters, so you can email us at...
highladiespodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to know all the adventures we're going on and what we're doing, you could follow us on Instagram at
highladiespodcast.
That's about it.
That's it. Bye, ladies.